Deuteronomy chapter 32, we're going to read the first 12 verses of this chapter. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath brought thee, or that hath bought thee, excuse me? Hath he not made thee and established thee? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land, and in the waste, howling with wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. Amen. We trust that the Lord will add his own blessing to this reading from his holy word for his name's sake. This evening we are going to consider verse 9 as our text, where the writer says, for the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. I would like us to consider tonight the Lord's portion. We considered this past Wednesday evening the phrase that we found in Psalm 119. Thou art my portion, O Lord. Now I would like to consider tonight the mirror image of that. The people of God are the Lord's portion. So it says here, for the Lord's portion is his people. With God's word, though, before us, let's pause for prayer and indeed ask the Lord that he would meet with us and speak to us from his word for his name's sake. Our Father and our God, we come to thee again now with thy word before us. We are thankful that it is thy word. Lord, we're thankful that we can look into it. Lord, we're thankful that we can open the pages of thy book. And we can see revealed to us there thy heart, thy mind, and thy redemption. Lord, we're thankful that we can see the work of Jesus Christ. We are thankful, O Lord, that thou dost not withhold from us the truth of the gospel, that which is needful for us to come unto thee and to be saved and to dwell with thee eternally. Lord, we are thankful that we can look into thy book and hear thy words, even speaking to our hearts, taking us forward with thyself. Lord, we're thankful that indeed here is the voice of the shepherd speaking to his sheep. Lord, I do pray now that thou wilt anoint thy word with thy Spirit's power. I pray, O God, that thou wilt take it and use it thyself in the hearts of thy people. Lord, thy people need to hear from thee. They need to meet with thee. They need to hear thy voice in their ears, as it were. Lord, I do pray that thou wilt be faithful now to us, as thy blood-bought people, and I pray that thou wilt come and that thou wilt speak much to our hearts concerning our Savior and concerning thy goodness and thy heart to us. Lord, bless us. Meet with us. Close us in with thyself. Truly let us know that we are a people that are being addressed by the Lord tonight. Lord, give us of thyself. Give us of thy grace, we plead. And Lord, I do pray that thou wilt help me as thy servant. I pray that thou wilt give me the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I pray that thou wilt strengthen me within my own heart. I pray that thou wilt, O Lord, hide me under the blood of Christ. Lord, do help me as thy servant, as I would speak of thy Son. And these things we do ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. As I mentioned to you a moment ago, this past Wednesday night, we considered that portion from Psalm 119:57, where it says, "Thou art my portion." The point that I sought to stress this past Wednesday was the point that this phrase, "Thou art my portion, O Lord," is a phrase that is intended by the Lord to be used by His people in the hour of their temptation, in the hour of their need, in the hour of their affliction, to reaffirm before God's throne that He is indeed the portion of our hearts. That will do us nothing but good. Perhaps you will recall and remember that in these words we have a recollection. There is, in a sense, in these words, a reaffirmation by our hearts that, yes, the Lord is the one to whom I belong. The Lord is, my place. The Lord is my portion. I belong to Him. It is good to recall our inheritance. It is good to look at those things that we have inherited. For those things remind us of who we are and where we came from. They remind us of the times and the situations that we have gone through with those who are connected with the various parts of our inheritance. And so it was, as David was mentioning in Psalm 119, that the Lord is his portion. He was recalling that it was the Lord that he should remember. It was the Lord that has taken him through times of difficulties. It was the Lord that has sustained him. It was the Lord that had given him victory, and he was remembering these things. Perhaps you will also recall that we said that this statement was an exclamation. It was a statement that was to be used by the people of God before the throne. "Thou art my portion, O Lord." And the point that we were making in that is that the people of God are always strengthened when Christ is owned afresh. Perhaps you'll remember the statement that I made to you that recounting what Thomas Brooks, that old Puritan, was saying, that every time that we are in a temptation, we are to answer every temptation with these words, "Thou art my portion, O Lord." I challenged you this last Wednesday with those words, I believe, and I'm just wondering, has anybody ever had in the last 3 days an occasion to test that? I just would ask you by way of a testimony. You don't have to raise or say your hand or say anything. Does it not work? To own Jesus Christ, is it not a power that works in the hour of temptation? I say that there is much in those words that is true. It is an exclamation. But then there was an expectation attached to it. There was an expectation by David that those words would refresh his heart. Indeed, I would have to say my own self, and I don't know about many of you, I hoped that perhaps you did this. As we prayed that night and as we left that place to come before the Lord's throne and to again exclaim, "Thou art my portion, O Lord," I ask you, what did you find was your heart's portion as you did such a thing? What did you find from the hand of the Lord as you exclaimed, "Thou art mine, O Christ? Thou art my portion. Thou art all that I would have in this world"? What did you find that your heart knew as a response to that? Well, I'll have to confess my own testimony was that it is a refreshment. There is a refreshing to the soul to own Christ. There is, as I mentioned, a relief. It does quiet the heart. Nothing quiets the heart so much as knowing that Christ is mine. Nothing strengthens me with might in the inner man so much as knowing that Jesus Christ is my portion. There is relief for all the burdens, for all the stresses, for all the afflictions of life in knowing that Christ is our portion. I say that there is a reviving. We may not see the revival that we would hope for. We may not see all the things that we would be praying for, but certainly we are on the way. When we own Christ afresh, when our hearts turns away from all the things of this world and we own Christ, we are on the way to revival. I say that the Lord means for us to bring that up before the throne. That very statement, that is something that we are to bring before the Lord. "Thou art my portion, O Lord," and we will find, as we do so, immense help for our souls. But I would have us to understand that that act, our confession, "Thou art my portion, O Lord," is our drawing nigh to God. That is our seeking after the face of God. But I would say, have us to consider the words of James. James, what happens to those of us who draw nigh to God? What happens with those who would seek after the face of God? Where do they find themselves as they would seek after the Lord? Do they not find that the Lord has brought them into His own presence? Do they not find that as they draw nigh to God, that He has drawn nigh to them? Here I say tonight, we do have a mirror image of what we have exclaimed was that which the Lord would have us to bring before the throne. We are to draw nigh to God with those words, but let us understand that as we do that, God is drawing nigh to us. We affirm by these words, Thou art my portion. But I would have us to understand that God also affirms that truth to us as He would turn and affirm to us the words of our text, For the Lord's portion is His people. Thou art my people. Thou art my portion. I say, we exclaim, Thou art my portion. And God exclaims the very same thing. The exact same words. Thou art my portion. Oh, what sweetness there is in those words. What a wonderful message there is in that thought. That I come before my God and I with my whole heart cry, Thou art my portion, O Lord, to hear the Lord turn around and with all the love of heaven upon His voice, confess to me, Thou art my portion. Thou art my portion. Indeed, I say our text is a mirror image of what we bring before the throne. And the truth of the matter is that as we find ourselves confessing that the Lord is our portion, we shall find Him coming close to our hearts and assuring us that we are His portion. And so tonight I make as my proposition, the Lord's portion is His people, and this is a praise that we take from the throne. Thou art my portion, O Lord, is that prayer that we come to the throne with. The Lord's portion is His people, is that praise that we leave the throne wearing indeed on our hearts. Well, we might ask the question then, and we shall ask the question as we go through tonight's message. How am I Thy portion, O Lord? How am I Thy portion? How is it true that I am the portion of the Lord? Well, I would like to answer that. And you will know when we get to a new point when you hear a word that starts with F. How am I Thy portion, Lord? Well, I think the Word of God would explain to us, would tell us very plainly that the Lord says that we are His portion, and He does so fervently. He does so fervently. He exclaims to us His love, that He has a fervent love for us. Now, I will tell you very plainly, right up front, this would be a point that I would love to be able to delve into. I would love to be able to take apart and explain to you every nuance of the love of God so that your heart may be able to wrap itself completely around it and take it and make it yours. But I will confess to you, I cannot do that. I cannot explain to you the fervency of the love of God. No man can explain to you the fervency of the love of God, how fervently He loves you. I will simply tell you and point blank say to you, that is something that you must find out for yourself before the throne as you commune with God. To know how fervently the Lord loves you is something that only God can tell your heart. It's only something that He can witness to you through the power of His Holy Spirit. I could stand up here and forever tell you all everything that I could say about the love of God. I could say how rich it is. I could show you the extent to which the Lord has gone. But until the Holy Spirit comes and takes the love of God and brings it to your heart in the power of the Lord, it will not be what it might be otherwise. Oh, my friends, we need to know the love of God, but we shall find it out only as we come before the throne. But having said that, I can say this. Although I can't explain to you how fervently the Lord loves you, I can say that He does fervently love you. You may say, well, how can you say that? Well, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4 says, But God, who is rich in mercy for His, now here's the word, great love, wherewith He hath loved us, great love, immense love, surpassing love, great love. I can't tell you all that is involved in that, but I do know that the truth of it is that God's love for you this night, if you are a child of God, is a fervent love. It is a love that is great in its proportion. Let me ask you this. How much love would make you happy? How much love from the Lord would you know to fill up your life? Oh, you can have it. There's an abundance of the love of God, and it is fervent toward you this night. How well would you know the Lord loving you? To what extent would you know the Lord loving you? Oh, I say that the Lord does love His people. Just come up to the throne of God and pour out your soul to your Savior and see if the Holy Spirit will not affirm to your heart that you are loved of God. You are loved of God. My people are my portion, says the Lord. Lord, Thou art my portion, O child of God, hear. The Lord saying to your heart even tonight, Thou art my portion too. But we might ask again, Lord, how am I Thy portion? How am I Thy portion? Well, I would say, secondly, fully. You are fully my portion. You know, we might quite naturally think that the Lord would treat us as we do each other. You know, we oftentimes get our views of God as from the way that we interact among ourselves. The way my father taught me and the way my father dealt with me is the way I think God deals with me as a father. You know, when I see the justice system or how I see things happening around me, that's how I perceive God to be treating me. How I treat those that are around me sometimes is how I think God would treat me. And that's such a bad way to try to understand the heart and mind of God. We might think that God would treat us as we do each other. And that is that we can still see some part of another which we do not like at all. You ever think about that about the Lord? The Lord loves you, but He can still see something about you that He doesn't like at all. Well, the Lord states that His people cause Him no such feeling. There's not any part of you that the Lord does not love. There's not any part of your heart, of your soul that the Lord does not love fully. Every single part of you. Well, how so? How do we know that this is true? I'll just take you back to the words that we read, Deuteronomy 32 and verse 10. It says, of Jacob, good old Jacob. You know, there's a lot about Jacob that you could say, now the Lord shouldn't have loved this. But look what he says. He says, He found him in the wilderness, in the desert land, in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of His eye. You know, we take that phrase, the apple of His eye, meaning somebody who's very special. Somebody this person just can't do any wrong. This person just is loved so much that this person is the light of my life. That's how we would say somebody who is an apple of the eye. Now, some of you perhaps get the tapes from Greenville and heard Dr. Barrett speak on this text and this thought of the apple of the eye, meaning, well, the apple is not really meaning apple. What it really means is the pupil. Does anybody remember hearing that? The apple doesn't mean, it's that little black spot that's in the eye. That's what's really being, well, you can take that way. My lexicon tells me that it was used three times in the original as the word apple, and only once as the word pupil, but far be it from me to ever argue with Dr. Barrett. I can say this when he's not here. Maybe he'll listen to this on sermon audio, and then I will get a note from him. But it's either way, the message is still the same. For if we were to take it meaning that this is the pupil of the eye, that would simply mean that that is the center of God's eye. That God's attention, that God's vision, that God's looking is centered upon Jacob. That it is centered upon those that He has taken for Himself. Oh, may we understand that God's eyes are upon us fully. And the Lord looks upon us and He knows us. And there is nothing which causes Him to pull back. Amen. The Lord will not pull back from me. There is not something that discourages His heart when He looks at me. There is not some part of me that causes the Lord to say, oh, well, I would like to bless Mark, but here is this. Oh, this is intended to shoot that idea right in Well, should I say the I? Would it be appropriate to say? No, I am the Lord's. And I am fully loved by Him. Well, we might ask a question, how can God love me while I have yet sin in my heart? While I am still a depraved creature? Now, that has been a theological quandary for many years. How is it that God can love and show forth His grace and His mercy upon us, even though we may be saved, yet we are still sinful? How can God then love us fully? Well, let me come to my next point and ask again that question, Lord, how am I Thy portion? And I will, if you will permit, I am going to coin a word. I do this from time to time, you know that well. But it fits, and I think it is apropos. The Lord looks on us, deals with us forgivingly. I know that's not a word, but it is now. Forgivingly. Romans 5 and 8 says, God shows His love in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. God is able to look at me even though I may have these parts of myself that are unlovely, that are sinful, and yet my God is able to deal with me in full love. Why? Because He forgives. Christ died to put away sin. He died to take our sins away, and He does do that. We no longer have to stand before the Lord worrying about our sin. There's no more condemnation. There's nothing that the Lord sees as wanting in me, because now I am in Christ, and His blood is applied to me, and I wear the righteousness of Christ. What finer righteousness would I know? What fuller acceptance would I seek than to know the acceptance of Jesus Christ before God? That is my acceptance. Christ's acceptance is my acceptance. Christ delighting the heart of God is my delighting the heart of God. And how is this? Because the Lord forgives. And I would just simply say, as the Lord whispers to your heart tonight, that you are His portion, I would simply ask you to hear His voice say to you as well, and I have put away your sin. And I have put away your sin. Let your heart hear this tonight. Christ Jesus has put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself once forever. Oh, I'm not trying to say that the Lord overlooks our sin. He does not overlook our sin. You know what's sort of interesting? The natural man, just our own nature, would come to the conclusion that God does not overlook sin. You know, we by nature worry about, well, what about our sin? What? You know, sometimes we try to get too smart for ourselves. Our own nature would lead us to that right conclusion. Yes, it is true. God does not overlook sin. It is a right conclusion. Any man who comes to that conclusion is correct. We shouldn't say, oh, brother, no, wait a minute, no, you just don't understand the situation. You know, God loves you, and God will deal mercifully, and He will just overlook your sin. No, that doesn't happen. God does not overlook sin, but what happens? He puts them away. He puts them away. Jesus Christ deals with our sins by taking them to Himself and bearing them away. God deals with us as His portion forgivingly. But then I would also go on to ask, as we have been asking, Lord, how am I Thy portion? Lord, how am I Thy portion? Show me but another way in which I may be the portion of Thy heart. Well, I would say, if you go to the words of Hosea chapter 14 and verse 4, you would understand that the Lord would tell us that we are His portion, and that freely. Freely. By this I mean that the Lord takes us unto Himself as His portion without any hesitation. There is no stammering in the divine mind. There is no hesitation. Well, should I or should I not take this one to myself? Should I declare this one to be my portion? Let me ask you this. You know, maybe it would be a thought in our minds. Well, would it really be the best thing? What would it do to Mark's heart if I were to tell him that he was my portion? Maybe I better welcome him. No, there's no hesitation in the mind of God. He declares to us that we are His portion. Hosea 14 and 4 says, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. For mine anger is turned away. The idea of freely carries the idea of a free will offering, something that you give and there's no reservation, there's no seeking to get it back. The Lord gives us His love and He does so freely. Oh, may we be a people that understand that when we come before the Lord and we exclaim before Him, Thou art my portion, O Lord, that the Lord is turning around and with all the freedom of His own heart, freely extending Himself, He is loving us. He is owning us as His own. I may ask again, Lord, how am I Thy portion? Show me but one more way. Well, I would say, the Lord proves to us that we are His portion fairly. Fairly. The Lord shows us fairly. You might say, well, what are you saying here? You know, we might rightly say that the law has a claim on us. When you and I break the law has a claim. The law, in other words, owns us. The law has something that it may do to us. The law has the right to mete out a judgment against us. I say the law has a claim on us. And you know, not only does the law claim ownership of you and I, sin also claims an ownership because we have sold ourselves to sin, so Paul tells us, that we are those who have sold ourselves to sin, and sin is our master. But here's the thought. As I say, as I bring out the thought that the Lord is saying that He loves us fairly, the Lord has bought us. And it is now a situation where we are His. He has paid the law and He has conquered sin. We fairly belong to God. Rightly belong to God. Oh, may I take you to an illustration. Perhaps the encouragement of the Lord to your heart would be like it was to that of Ruth. I kind of wonder how Ruth would have felt as she saw Boaz walking toward the gate where he was to meet with the other kinsman who was closer to her than he was. Perhaps she thought, well, first, I'm not really a child of this race. I am a Moabitess. I have no rights here. There are claims on me from another direction. But what happens if Boaz fails and then I belong to this other kinsman and he has the right over me? Well, my heart was just thinking, what would have been the heart response? How would Ruth's heart have felt as she saw Boaz coming back? As she saw the man walking back from the gate with, as it were, the seal in his hand of the transaction that had been done. Her heart would have realized, amen, I am now belonging to Boaz. The matter is settled. There was a relief. There was a sense, now no more, no one else can claim me. My place, my right is settled. I say in many ways, when the Lord tells us that we are His portion, that is a sense in which the Lord is presenting this truth. We belong to Him. The matter is settled. There's nobody else that's going to own us. There's nobody else that's going to have a claim on us. The law has been dealt with fairly. Sin has been conquered totally. Death has been undone altogether. We now belong to the Lord. We are now His portion. The transaction is over. The matter is settled. Our Boaz walks back from the gate. We belong to Him. Oh, may we understand that that is, in some sense, what the Lord is indicating here. Although the whole incident of Ruth and Boaz took place after the Lord's words were uttered here in the mouth of Moses, still the truth of it is the same. We are bought. We are bought. So the Lord even says so here in the text that we have read, does He not? In verse 6, do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and wise? Is it not He, thy Father, that hath bought thee? Paul puts it in the same sense. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20, he says, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. You belong to God. You are His portion. He has fairly and rightly and legally bought you for Himself. Oh, allow your heart to think on that. Allow your mind to dwell on that. I say tonight, Christian, let the Lord's word come down into your heart. and take it as your own. This is God's word to you tonight if you're a believer. You say, Lord, thou art my portion. The Lord turns right around to you and says, and you're mine. You're mine. But I feel like I'm Abraham here. O Lord, but once more let thy servant ask of thee a question. And be not angry as I inquire of thee, but yet once more, Lord, how am I thy portion? Point number six, faithfully. Faithfully. The Lord loves His people faithfully. There shall not be anything that I need that the Lord shall not give. The idea here, when the Lord says, thou art my portion, you people are my portion, you Jacobs are my portion. The idea, the whole scene is as if we have a husbandman who now looks over his fields, his vineyard, and he looks at that which he with his own hand has tilled, that which the labor of his own hand hath wrought, what the sweat of his own brow hath produced, and he is glad. The idea also might even be of a shepherd who cares for his flock. He looks over each fleecy little face, and he recognizes each one. He knows them as his own. He cares for them. He feeds them. He guards them. He leads them. They are his. And he, with great care and great faithfulness, goes before them. Oh, let me just say this tonight to your heart. We are the Lord's portion, for we are those which he has chosen for himself. He has chosen us for himself. We are that chosen land. We are that chosen sheep. We are that one that God has taken to Himself by His own will, according to His own purposes, for His own good pleasure. God has taken us to Himself, and He, by saying that we are His portion, covenants with us that He will care for us as His people. Can we not surmise that as we read verse 10 and verse 11? Speaking of that Jacob of long ago, but I have to say that it's true of this Jacob that stands before you. For he found him in a desert land and in a waste, howling wilderness. And he led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, and beareth them on her wings. Oh, is that not how the Lord has dealt with me? Yes, I say before every one of you tonight, that is my testimony. That's what the Lord has done for me, and I think that if you are truthful tonight, child of God, you'll say that that's what the Lord has done for me too. Oh, I want us to understand, the Lord is our portion, but when He turns to us and whispers to our ears as we would be before His throne, and thou art my portion too, He is saying, yes, and I shall faithfully deal with you. Oh, let our hearts be glad. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. But then, may I ask but once more, Lord, how am I thy portion? Lord, how am I thy portion? Number seven, thou art my portion forever. Thou art my portion forever. What shall separate us from the love of God? Shall God throw off His inheritance? Perhaps we read those words in Isaiah of the mother who can forget her nursing child, and the Lord saying, yet I will not forget thee. Yea, they may cast thee off, but I shall never forget thee. Oh, our God tells us this night when He says that His people are His portion. He is saying that, yes, this is true, and I want you to understand that this is forever. Hallelujah. That's a sweet thought to my mind. Forever. We sang it this morning. What a word that is. Forever! The Lord has taken us to Himself. So we, thy people, and the sheep of thy pasture, will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. He hath remembered His covenant forever, the word which He commanded to 1,000 generations. The Lord has exclaimed that I am His and I am His forever. Oh, there is a rejoicing for my heart. I shall never be anything but the portion of the Lord. Forever. Let me close by asking this question. Lord, how am I thy portion? Oh, Lord, teach my heart. Lord, how am I thy portion? Let thy Spirit make it known to me in all its fullness and all its glory. May my heart set itself to knowing the truth of it. Thou art my portion, O Lord. This is my cry before thy throne. But as I rise up from that bended knee, may I leave with thy words upon my heart. Thou art my portion too. May God indeed seal his word to our hearts and give us grace to be a people believing and to be a people rejoicing. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we come into thy presence with gratefulness. Lord, we are thankful that thou dost not withhold thy love from us, that thou art not afraid nor art thou hesitant to exclaim that thou dost love thy people. Lord, we are thankful that thou dost show us thy heart, that thou dost encourage us with who thou art, that thou dost encourage us with what thou dost intend to be to us and to do for us. Lord, I pray that thou wilt encourage our hearts by having considered this thought tonight, that we are thy portion, that we are those whom thou hast owned, and that thou shalt never let us go. We are close to thy heart, and thou dost ever intend to fold us ever closer. Lord, I pray that thou wilt encourage us with such truth. I pray, O God, that thou wilt allow thy grace to rest upon our hearts, that truly we might glorify thee because of that which thou art to us. Lord, now bless us as we leave this place. Lord, let the grace of Christ be our abiding portion, we ask in his name.